the man behind the voice you've been hearing for decades associated with Valley sports teams. It's time for That's So Money with Arizona Diamondbacks and ASU broadcaster Jeff Munn.
Well, howdy doody, and welcome to another edition of That's So Money, the weekly podcast or regular podcast. Weekly, gee, I haven't been that weekly for a while, but we do come to you as often as we can on sports360az.com, and I want to forewarn you that this particular podcast is going to be one of the more interesting ones we've done because it's all off the top of my head. I usually come into these podcasts and have something really top of mind, and I say, I've got to talk about this. And I have things always on my mind to talk about, but this one in particular is going to be a little different. And I'm going to start by expounding on something that I talked about in the last podcast. We talked about my friend, the late George Allen. And I wanted to just explain something that I feel very passionate about regarding high school athletics, and in particular, high school football. And it was something that got me in a little bit of trouble many years ago when I was doing a talk show at a radio station and I mentioned this. So I'm going to be very careful to explain my feelings on this subject. George left Cox Cable, the legend goes, in a dispute with his bosses about the decision to televise high school football games on Thursday nights. And he wasn't in favor of it. And a lot of coaches were a little opposed to it. But Cox went on with their plans, and George said, if you do it, I'm not going to be a part of it. And he wasn't a part of it. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now that I am the son of a former high school administrator. My father was an administrator in the Phoenix Union High School District for 20-plus years, teacher and administrator. And he had a very simple philosophy about schools. Everything at a school is there for the students. The buildings are there for the students. The books are there for the students. The teachers are there for the students. The parking spaces at a high school, most of them are there for the students. The cafeteria is there for the students. And sporting events, in his mind, were there for the students. It wasn't to be a training ground for guys wanting to go play college football, although that came as a result of it. But my dad always looked at football games, basketball games, any kind of athletic event as not only participation for the student athletes, but also something for the school as a whole to rally around. And I said in 1999, and this is what got me in trouble, if my father was an athletic director and Cox Cable came to him, you know, they obviously provide some financial assistance to these schools to get these games on the air. And they came to him with basically a check and said, we want to move your football game to Thursday. He would have torn the check up and thrown it in their face. Because he looked at the downside of playing football games on Thursday nights. When you play on a Thursday, you can't have a pep rally. When you play on a Thursday, you can't encourage students to attend the game, especially on the road, because it gets into how many students are going to call in the next day absent because they're tired. They were up late the night before. How many students are going to mess up a test that they're taking on a Friday because they didn't use Thursday night to study? You can't have a dance after a Thursday night football game. That's ridiculous. You do those on Friday nights because it's the weekend. So a lot of things have to be sacrificed to move a game to Thursday simply to get it on television. And while I understand Cox's need to televise games on Thursdays, even 16 years after I uttered those words on radio, I'm still opposed to playing high school football games on Thursday nights. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense. Now, I wish Cox well in their efforts to promote high school athletics and also get the highest rating number or the largest audience they can for events. I just don't happen to agree with the process. But I don't begrudge Cox Cable one iota what they're trying to do to basically promote a product. So if you work at Cox, please don't be mad at me. I'm not, you know, anti what you're doing. I just hate the fact that a school has to sacrifice certain things that have meaning to the entire student body to move a football game to a Thursday. So I hope that that clears up whatever questions may have existed about my position on that. And it's just something that I've always felt very passionate about. A couple other things, and they're kind of minor in nature, maybe in the grand scheme of things, but the NCAA, just a couple days before we taped this, passed new rules regarding women's basketball. Many of you know I do play-by-play for Arizona State women's basketball. They're going to go to what the WNBA has used as a format, 4 10-minute quarters, a little different structure to the timeouts, and in the last minute of regulation and through any overtime period, when a team calls a timeout and they can advance the ball to midcourt and inbound it from midcourt, much like you see in the pros. I love these rules changes. There has been a bit of a concern on the part of basketball at all levels about scoring and the lack of offense. This will help to some degree, especially the part about moving the ball to midcourt out of timeouts. I think that'll help immensely. It helps teams in late game situations. But there's another little thing with basketball that, and you see it a little bit now in the NBA Finals, that may be another kind of below the radar issue with the lack of offense, and it is this, the wing jumper. Arizona State in the NCAA Women's Tournament played UALR, Arkansas Little Rock, in the second round, a tremendous mid-major program that had won 29 games, very athletic. They beat a very good Texas A&M team in the first round, and their head coach, in the day between press conference, made a very valid point. He said, "I don't understand why people have become afraid of the wing jumper, the 15-foot jump shot." He said, "Don't you realize how much it opens things up if you have a team that is very successful at shooting a jump shot from 15 feet? It's, you know, if a team is proficient from three-point range, that's great, but it's not really going to clear up the middle to penetrate. What clears up the middle to penetrate is somebody who can hit a 15-foot jump shot. That forces those inside defenders to come out a little bit and guard those jump shooters. And if they are athletic, once those defenders come out, you can go right around them and go all the way to the hoop." And he said that's the thing that will jumpstart offenses in basketball, is if you develop more mid-range jump shooters, not three-point shooters, mid-range jump shooters. There's always going to be a certain amount of three-point shooters, but you need those 15-foot jump shots to really open up the paint and make the game flow better. And I think he's absolutely right. And that's what I'd like to see players, as they start their amateur careers, work more on. Not the three-pointer, not the dunk, the 15-foot jump shot. I'm also watching the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm going to be a little repetitive here with something I've probably talked about before. But I don't understand why people lament the state of the NHL. There are problems. There's a problem with the franchise right here. And there's way too much talk, unfortunately, about the financial status of the NHL team here than on what's going on the ice. But the National Hockey League, while it's made a few mistakes in my eyes, they've done some things really right, and they don't get credit for it. The National Hockey League has taken over ownership of a slice of New Year's Day, in part because college football kind of gave it up during the BCS era. It was still kind of a neat day to watch the Rose Bowl, but now it's side by side with the Winter Classic. And that's all the work of the NHL in partnership with NBC. The NHL has also done a terrific job in making certain that the fans of hockey have one place to go to watch postseason games, either NBC Sports Network or the main NBC network. They did use CNBC a little bit for some of the playoff games. But the NHL never gets credit from anybody. Everybody just complains about, why aren't you on ESPN? Well, if they were on ESPN, let's think about this for a minute. They would be on ESPNU or 2, or they couldn't get clearance at certain times for certain games. The one beauty of the NBC Sports Network, which doesn't have much to show this time of year outside of the Tour de France, is they can take a playoff game. It doesn't matter where it's played. It doesn't matter how long it goes. That's the other thing that's good about NBC Sports Network. They're not going to sit there if a game goes into a second overtime and scream, "We got to get the Sports Center." You know, so why people continue to beat up Gary Bettman? I know it's just it's kind of in vogue to, or it's the trendy thing to do to dump on the commissioner. But I don't get what people are upset with in regards to Gary Bettman. He's done more to help the National Hockey League than he has to hurt it. People will say, well, he was the commissioner through two labor stoppages. Okay, but why did he do it? He was trying to ensure financial stability for every one of his franchises. They had to have cost certainty. And he had to stick to his guns. If he had not gotten the cost measures that the two lockouts and cancellation of games had provided him, it would have led to financial ruin. And even the most diehard hockey fan or player has to admit that. So why do you keep treating this guy like he's Satan? He's not. Is he perfect? No. No commissioner's perfect. Pete Rozelle made mistakes. Bud Selig, for all the things he accomplished in baseball, he made mistakes. Rob Manfred will make mistakes. Roger Goodell's made mistakes. No commissioner's perfect, but Gary Bettman's gotten it right more often than he's gotten it wrong. And it's really disturbing to me. When this Stanley Cup Finals ends and he comes out to present the cup, he'll get booed. And I'm just going to say it, that's wrong. That's just plain wrong. I know why some fans do it, because that's what you do. You boo the commissioner. It doesn't matter how good or bad they are. You boo the commissioner. I just don't happen to agree with it in this instance. The other things that that are just top of mind with me, I'm always fascinated by fans. Baseball has, probably more than any other sport, a unique set of fans. There are people who come to the ballpark on a daily basis. And Chase Field, we've got him, the flag lady. There's a guy that holds up signs near Bobby Freeman, where he plays the organ on the upper concourse down the left field line. Comes to every game, holds up a sign, wants to get on camera. It's part of the fun of a ballpark. You get the characters of a ballpark. And unlike other sports, and all sports are great, a ballpark has a personality. It's like a little city. And it just takes on a personality on a regular basis. And that's part of the personality of Chase Field. Joe Garagiola Jr. always used to tell us when he was the general manager of the Diamondbacks that we as employees should spend a little time every homestand just going down and walking the concourse before a game. And just watching people and listening to them talk and take note of what they're wearing. And I would encourage you to do that when you come to a Diamondbacks game. Spend a little time walking the concourse and look and people watch. If they're playing the Braves, you'll see people wearing Atlanta Braves shirts. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem, by the way, with tons of Cubs fans at D-backs Cubs game or Mets fans. Listen, that's part of what makes the atmosphere of the ballpark. I don't have a problem with Chicago Blackhawks fans showing up at Tampa Bay Lightning games in the Stanley Cup Finals. If you can't sell your own tickets, that's on you. That's your fault as a city for not selling that game out. And you know what? Fans of the other team make it fun. So I want those fans there. It adds to the enjoyment of the event. But you walk that concourse at Chase Field and watch people and see the kind of fun they're having and what they're doing, what they're wearing. You know, that's part of it too. When you go to a game, you're almost like a player. You put on a uniform. It makes it fascinating. It's one of the things I really enjoy about my job. There's a lot of things I enjoy about my job, but one of them is just to watch people and see what they do. Fan is short for fanatic, and it really takes on an interesting interpretation when you're talking about sports. And I just love going and watching fans. I see that at ASU games. No matter whether it's baseball, and they had a terrific year, by the way, the move to Phoenix Muni. How'd that work out? Worked out pretty good. Basketball, football. It's just great to watch fans. And I think it's one of the things that really makes sports fun. And it's not just here at home. You watch fans at the Women's World Cup right now in Canada, or fans at the Olympics. It just makes for fun. And so just one of the things that was crossing my mind, I will tell you that we will update this podcast little bit more often, I hope. And one of the as we get toward July and August, we'll talk a little bit more about things related to the upcoming football season. I'm so excited about what ASU could accomplish in this coming season. And I'm really anxious to see how things unfold for the Cardinals. Very quietly, it looks to me like they know that they're on the verge of doing something special, that maybe the window's closing for the Seahawks. It's clearly closing on the 49ers. And there may just be a little bit too much commotion with St. Louis and where they're going to play after this year to allow the Rams to really focus on what they got to do on the field. So there's a lot of things to look forward to, and we'll talk about them here. I also encourage you to surf this website if you haven't done so recently. We were talking about high school football at the very beginning of this podcast. You get all the latest news regarding recruiting, regarding how high school football teams are preparing for the new season. You get lots of coverage of things you probably don't get coverage of in other places. Soccer, junior college sports, all kinds of great things here. That's why they call it Sports360AZ.com. So I encourage you to check that out. And we will update this podcast again very, very soon. I appreciate you listening. I hope you didn't mind me rambling a little bit. And I will talk to you soon.